Well, good morning. Wasn't that a cool video? A friend of mine put that together. I asked him, just look at all your favorite movies about Jesus and then piece together the story of Christ. So that's actually, I think, five different movies that are called Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus Christ. Isn't that really wonderful? The image of him getting up with a hole in his hand, that really sticks out in my mind. One reason why I just love the story of Jesus, and one reason why I'm glad to be a navigator is because of the first several words of our calling, which is to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom. I'm so glad that we are not about advancing the navigators. I'm so glad that we're not about advancing our favorite doctrine or a ministry philosophy or our favorite Christian author, or even our favorite Christian band, right? I'm so glad we're not advancing personalities. We're not advancing methods. It's to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? One thing that does for me, and I want you to know this, tonight I'm flying to Chicago, and tomorrow I'll be meeting with a number of leaders from different Christian ministries that are reaching college students and high school students. And this April, I'll be hosting all of my peers that lead national ministries to students at Glen Eyrie. And they're coming in for 48 hours, and we're going to take 24 hours alone just to be with Jesus, just a personal retreat for everybody. And then we're going to meet together. And you know what we do? We've committed ourselves to not talking about strategy and to not comparing, but to blessing each other, to being there for each other, because we're on the same team, because we pull for one another. Isn't that the way it should be? And I hope it encourages you that Mark's the leader of Campus Crusade, that we're friends, and he'll be there. Jim from InterVarsity and Louis Giglio, and several others will be there praying for you, asking God to advance his kingdom through us. I say that because I hope that in your settings that you're blessing and praying for the other ministries around you. I bless them because we're all on the same team. We're all moving in the same direction. Now, the navigators, you know, we have a part to play in the kingdom. And it's a significant part, but it's not the only part. Which is why I just love to bless my Campus Crusade friends and my InterVarsity friends and campus outreach and ministries through different local churches and the ones that I forgot to mention right now. I just bless them. Now, you know, of course, there's a limit. I mean, there's some, you know, Hare Krishna, no. But the people that love Jesus, yes, yes. So I make it a habit when I'm with a group like you to take just a moment and pray for other ministries. Can we do that together right now? Father, with these men and women here, we do take this moment, and we want to lift up the ministries of InterVarsity, RUF, Campus Crusade, Baptist Student Ministries, Campus Outreach, Disciple Makers, all the local churches that have outreaches to students, all the people that love you and care about students and are trying to take your good news and do their part in campus communities all over this nation and all over this state. We lift them up. And Father, we pray, would you bless them? Would you empower them to do your part, their part, the part you have for them in your kingdom? Would you protect them? Protect them from sin. Protect them from the enemy. And would you provide for their needs? Would you make it so that there would be many students who are walking with you because of them, and have many students who didn't have hope but do have hope because of these ministries? And Father, along with them, I do pray for the navigators. I pray you'd bless us too. I pray you'd help us to do our part as you're advancing and building your kingdom all over this globe and in this state. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are big enough to bless us all. I'm so glad. And I pray all of this in the name of Jesus again. Amen. Okay, Chris, is there some water? I can use anybody's water. Doesn't matter. Thank you. Just don't, don't give me any of that dirty ice, though. So one last talk. Did you sleep okay last night? No? Jeez. Everyone's just staring at me, so we'll make this really short. Friday night, we talked about knowing Christ. Dave talked about fearing God yesterday morning, last night, seeking Christ this morning, serving Christ. Just to remind you, all the way along, I've been praying for you, others have been praying for you, you're praying for you, that today, if you hear His voice, that you wouldn't harden your heart, that you would hear the things that He has to say to you. I think He will. I think He probably is, and some of you probably already know what He said. So as I already prayed, let's just keep asking the Lord to speak to us right at our point of need. Now, on Friday night, just to review again, because this all fits together, I shared a little bit about my story, and then the big story, the one we just saw on DVD here, the story of the king seeking you. And really, a lot of the time we've been talking now about your story. What will your story be? What is it so far? And we've had two really big key verses so far. The first one, John 17:3, where Jesus is praying. And He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." Knowing God, a relationship with Him, that's what He wants for us. That's what He wants for you. That's what He wants for your little brother. That's what He wants for your dad, for your grandma, for your lab partner, for your cubicle partner, you know, for the people in the public you interact with, your best friend from your sophomore year of high school, your neighbor, all these people that He ordains that you rub shoulders with. He wants them all. Thank you very much, Chris. He wants them all to know Him, and He wants you to know Him. And then our other verse, Matthew 6:33. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If we seek Him, He takes care of us. That's what we're talking about. That's what we talked about last night. How do we do that? Now, we went through this kind of long list. It got longer and longer about, you know, a couple things before we talked about the scripture. And let's just review them. We said, don't confuse the abundant life with what? The American dream. And I was encouraged to see, I think that a number of you are not doing that, are not confusing it. And I think that's a good thing. We talked about seeking Jesus' righteousness. I shared with you the story of my driving down that street, the enemy reminding me of my sin. And I know how He operates. I know He does that for you. And talked about how to apply His righteousness to your life. We talked about knowing that He's transforming you. So it's not white-knuckle Christianity. It's not you're squeezing out a little bit more righteousness. But He's changing you. It is a spiritual work. It's not something you can codify and quantify. It is a spiritual work. It's very real. And He's inside you, working and changing and transforming you. We talked about not living for spiritual highs. Some of you love to live for the spiritual highs. And I told you to let it go. All right? Let Him be your stability. And then we talked about living as Jesus' follower. We started from Matthew 28:18-20. Oh, and I guess we threw in there the two rules, the only really navigator rules. Don't be weird and don't be fake. You do that, you'll be fine. And then we came up with the 5 specific things that Jesus was teaching, taught His followers about what it means to really follow Him. And let's review them here. Oh, they're not there. Well, maybe you remember them. Let's see. A follower, a true Jesus follower, a follower of Christ, there's these things. This is how they live. This is how you live as a Jesus follower. You do what? You, one, hold to His teaching. Two, love other disciples. Three, bear much fruit. Four, love Jesus more, than others. And then finally, be content with Christ's likeness. This is a follower of Jesus. This is what we are giving each other courage to do. You did well. Let's see. Let's put it all up now. Oh, you were right. Oh, give yourselves 100, okay? Feel good about this. So you can tell, yeah, I had a test this weekend. I got 100. This morning, we're going to talk about serving Christ. Serving Christ. Throughout the New Testament, throughout the Scriptures, you see people who call themselves, who self-identify as a servant of Christ. I just pick one. Romans 1:1. It's just right there. Paul, a servant of Christ. Paul, a servant of Christ. It's wonderful that Paul saw himself as a servant of Christ. But you know, he lived a couple thousand years ago. And he's on the other side now. I believe that in every age, God touches the hearts of men and women to be His servant, to know Him first, to be washed in the blood of Jesus, to walk with Him, to be His follower. But then, people that He anoints, people who say, me. And I wonder what you'd put in the blank up here. Would you put your name there? Just like Paul said, Paul, servant of Christ. How about Mike, servant of Christ? How about James, servant of Christ? Andrew, servant of Christ? Alyssa, servant of Christ? You know, lots of people in Christian circles like to be, I heard this when I was a student and it stuck with me, so I'm going to say it to you. Like to be called a servant, but not very many of us like to be treated like one. Here's the thing. If you're a servant of Christ, you may be treated like a servant. Kind of goes back to the Christ-likeness thing, right? Expect for you what happened to me. Well, I pray for you that you would have the joy of naming yourself before God, servant of Christ. And I pray for you that you'd have the joy of being treated like one at some point. And then taking that to Jesus and say, I know I said that, but now I'm being treated that way. And that you can take that to Jesus and talk about it with Him. That you can experience more with Him what it is to be His servant. Now, it's one thing to be the servant of Christ. And through the ages, people have declared themselves, and I think God has anointed them to be His servant. Related to that is being a servant of others. And Jesus said, or Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, he says, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ. And we preach ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. It's pretty powerful. What would it be like if I was all excited about me? You know, what kind of weekend would you have? It would be terrible. Man, he's really stuck on him. And, you know, sometimes I am, and I need your help. I like, you know, Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another day after day. What's to encourage? To give courage. To give courage to do what? I need people to give me courage to be the servant of Christ that God has asked me to be. To be the servant of others that He's appointed me to be. And you need to give each other courage to be this kind of person. Well, here's two pretty bold statements. I am Christ's servant. I'm Mike Jordahl. I'm Christ's servant, and I'm so glad. But you know what else? I'm your servant. I'm your servant. It's not me. It's Him. And who gets to be happy? You do. Not me. Because it's about Jesus, and it's about the people that God has called me to serve. In this case, it's you. And this afternoon, for you, you can say, I am Christ's servant. I'm your servant for the sake of the gospel. Oh, it's I'm remembering this one time right now. I was with this friend, and we went to this gas station. And do you know how gas stations have, you know, like penny cups? And I was paying cash for gas. And, you know, it came to $15.02. And so what do? You have $15, right, in your pocket, and it bumped over. So I go in to pay $15, and I'm looking for the penny cup. Where's your penny cup? Oh, we don't have one. Oh. Okay. I'm 2 cents short. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I was not very filled with the Spirit. I went to my car. I'm digging under mats. You know, I can find quarters, but this day, nothing. And my friend is with me, who's on the staff of the Navigators. So, you know, on the one hand, I'm trying, oh, yeah, I can handle this, but I am ticked off. I find the pennies, and then I open one. I found a lot. I grab them all up. I walk in to the gas station. I go, start one. Oh. And then I left. And of course, he's with me going, you know what happens when you're this way? You can't talk to anyone. It doesn't matter what happens, it's not good. And you're kind of having this little discussion. Well, I had a right. They know they have to have one. Everyone has one. The machines go too fast anyway. If they were a bit more slow, you could stop it right when you want to stop it. My friend John, he's just kind of giving me space. I go home, you know, we're at my house, and he's probably told Nancy, you know, stay away from Mike. And then it happens. Soften my heart. He softens it, really. So I'm so ashamed of myself. Why was I so retarded? Why did I do that? Oh, now you got it. You know, that's the thing about sin. You do it, and then you got to dig out of it. See, because you can like either just forget about it and try to make everything better and light the candles or go run or order a large pizza or whatever it is. But it doesn't make it better. So you know what I did? I went here. I don't even know what I read. I just told Lord, I'm so ashamed. What am I going to do? I treated that woman wrong. And who knows? Who knows what's happening in her life? Who knows if she sees me sitting in coffee shops reading my Bible, being all Christian-like? And there, and then she says, oh, I know, hypocrite. Oh, Lord, help me. Go pick up the phone, Mike. So I work it through. I go to John. John, I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. Would you forgive me? I did not treat her well. That's not a fitting way for a servant of Christ to act. Honey, I'm sorry for being such a doofus, coming in all mad and everything. Would you forgive me? Hug, hug, love, love. Then I get the phone book, find the gas station, call her. Hello? Yeah, is this like the little gas mart? Yeah. My name's Mike, and I just bought gas from you about an hour ago. I threw money on your counter. Feel the cold? Yes. I just want to say I'm sorry. I'm trying to follow Jesus. That was just wrong. I'm a servant of Christ, and I did not treat you as well as you needed to be treated. And that was really wrong. Would you forgive me, please? I don't want to make your day be bad because of me. could feel the softening. Wow. Well, yeah. Yeah, sure. Thanks for calling me back. Yeah. She hangs up. I hang up. I still never bought gas there again. I have to be completely honest with you, okay? But you see what it's like for servants of Christ. Now, I would guess some of you, maybe you've had similar circumstances. I don't know if you have little flashes of anger like I did right then. And to be honest, I don't usually have them. But right then, I did. You know, for me, when I was a student, it was... Well, I learned how to cheat. And I read that cheating is really on the rise. And I'm ashamed to say I learned how to cheat. And I can remember this one class. It was a speech communications class. And see, the guy who mentored me, who was discipling me, was Dave. And he was also discipling Kevin. And Dave was going to take Kevin and me up to Chicago on a Friday afternoon. And we were going to go do something. We're going to be around other navigators, I think, at some something. But I had to get the test done. And so we set it up that they would be outside of Stevenson Hall waiting for me. And I had my change of clothes in my backpack and my books. I was going to take this test, go out the door, hop in the car, and we'd go off to Chicago. So there I am taking the test. And there's one answer I couldn't get. And then I saw it over there. Oh, I knew that. Then I handed in. I'm so, I can't believe I just did that. I cheated. I'm going to go get in the car with those guys and I cheated. What am I going to do? I can't pretend like everything's okay. So I went and sat back down. I'll just sit here for a minute and wait for everyone to leave. Then I'll go, this was my plan, I'll go erase the answer, okay? And then it's like I didn't cheat and no one will know. And I'll just miss that question. Of course, this is a young professor on a Friday. Everyone's gabbing with them, you know. They're not leaving. Okay, they're outside for 5 minutes, you know, 8 minutes. So I decide to make the bold move. I go up and I say, excuse me, professor, is that my test there? Yeah. Would you just mark number 14 wrong? Oh, no, that's right. Well, I'd appreciate it if you just mark it wrong. Oh, no, that's exactly the right answer. It would help me if you'd mark it wrong. Mr. Jordahl, that's very interesting. Why? Meanwhile, 9 eyes looking at me. I mean, 9 sets of eyes, 9 eyes. Yeah. Yeah, there was one guy had 3. Yeah. These people are all looking at me, and he's looking at me. And there I am, Mike the cheater, with the opportunity to bear witness for Christ. So I had to tell him, I said, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I cheated. I knew all the answers but that one, and I just happened to see it on her paper, and I just wrote it down. And I realized that was wrong. And see, I gave my life to Christ a few years ago, and I'm trying to walk with Him. I'm trying to serve Him. And I just know that's not a right thing for a follower of Jesus to do. And I should not get credit for it because I wrote the answer down with someone else's help. My heart is going, and I look around, and all these people are going. And he goes, Mr. Jordahl, takes out his pen. That's very interesting. And crosses it off. Say thank you. Of course, I had to go back to that class, right? So all these people saw this. It was really cool because there was this friend of mine who was involved with Campus Crusade. We had to collaborate on the speech thing. Okay. So I shared my story. No, she shared her testimony, and I shared the bridge. A servant of Christ. I share these stories with you because, you know, it's not just this lofty term, you know. Oh, I'm going to get a brass plate and put it above my door. Servant of Christ. This impacts your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Your Thursday afternoons, your Tuesday mornings, your Friday nights at 11:30. All of those times are impacted when you are servant of Christ, servant of you, whoever the you is. Now the servant of God does what? The servant of God does the work of God. What work? What work? Well, the work that your Father gives you to do. John 17:4, right after the one we looked at in John 17:3. You're college students, you can figure that out. Jesus is praying, and he says, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Do you know what I realized I'm doing? I'm sharing with you all of my life verses. That's what we're talking about this weekend, and this is one of them right here. This passage guides me so much. See, Jesus could say to his Father, this is the same word he said on the cross when he said, it is finished. What was finished then? Paying the penalty for your sin. That's the same exact word he says right here. I have finished the work you gave me to do. What work? I think investing in the disciples, preaching, healing, the other things that he did. But here's the interesting thing. Was the gospel to the whole world? No. Was every lame person healed? Was every disease eradicated? No. But you know what Jesus could say? He says, I finished. I'm done. He was done with what? With the work the Father gave him to do. Every time I've had a big change in my life, I've gone back to here and I've been able to say, Lord, have I finished what you asked me to do? One day I'll get to ask that about this role. Have I finished? Am I done? Not that everything's completely finished, but am I finished with what God has asked me to do? And if I can say yes, then I have freedom to move on. So what work do you do? The work he gives you to do. Now, JD, God is going to give him work to do. It's not going to be the same work he gives me to do. So I'm not trying to guilt him into doing my work. He's not trying to guilt me into doing his work. I celebrate what God asks him to do, and he celebrates what God asks me to do, don't we? And we cheer each other on. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I think there's one passage, and I want to spend just a little bit of time in it, and I would like you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to this passage. And it talks about a particular work that I'd like to invite each of you to participate in. The passage is Matthew 9:35-38. And I'd like to read this passage to you, then we'll make a couple observations. So we're talking about serving Christ. We're talking about doing the work that God gives us to do. And Jesus gives us some insight into this here in Matthew 9. Follow along as I read. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Let's look at this closely. I love these first few verses. You want to get a picture of what Jesus did? Because see, here's one thing. Jesus said, when he said, go make disciples, he said, you go as I've gone. We look at how he's done it. And then in our own culture and context, we go, oh, well, this is how I could do it. Now, sometimes you think, okay, I need to wear a robe, put on sandals, and walk through deserts. No. Does it apply today? Yes, it does. This verse right here applies. Look at this. Verse 35, Jesus went. What did he do? He took initiative. Key word in the Christian life. I remember it was big for me when the Lord asked us to move from Kansas to New England. I'm reading the Great Commission, and you know what stood out to me? Go. 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 I thought, oh, go. Go. Whereas it's a way of life for followers of Christ. Do you know one of the most exhausting things for me? And this is true for laborers and leaders. You're always the one to take the initiative. You think, oh, if someone else would call me, you know? It's always you moving towards them. You moving. And it can be exhausting. But, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you all the power you need. Now, you're still human, so you still need to rest, take Sabbath, all that. But Jesus took initiative. He went. I like this. He went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues. He engaged with people's mind, with their minds, their intellect. He intellectually engaged with them. Then it says, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Now, there's a difference between teaching and preaching. Teaching, where you just kind of lay it out. Preaching, imploring someone, pleading with them, make a change. And I've done some of both with you. Jesus was teaching, engaging their minds. He was preaching, engaging their wills, intellect and volition. And it says he was healing every disease and sickness. He was actually getting in there and touching them and meeting their needs right where they were at. It's just wonderful. And then I like it says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. He engaged with them emotionally. You know what that's a picture of? Jesus gave all of who he was. On every level, he was going towards and interacting with people and touching them in all those arenas. And that's what you do. That's what he wants you to do. To be completely there, when you're with who he sent you to be with. Let's look at the rest of it. So he saw these crowds, he had compassion. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless. Helpless like what? Like sheep. Sheep like what kind of sheep? Sheep without a shepherd. Right? You've probably, a lot of you have heard about sheep are dumb, all that. I believe it. I thought, wouldn't it be cool to say, once I went out and sat in a meadow and watched sheep, and boy, were they dumb. And I thought, I've heard other people did it. I believe them, you know? Yeah. So, these sheep. But he says, he saw these people, and he says, they're like sheep. And they have no shepherd. And then he turns to the disciples, and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It's another picture. A ripe harvest. A ripe harvest, but no workers. Jesus told us about two problems, two issues, two needs. He says, look, shepherdless sheep. Look, ripe harvest. Sheep that need to be cared for. A harvest that needs to be brought in. Now this is interesting. One solution to two needs. What's the solution? He said, pray for workers. Pray for workers. Shepherdless sheep, ripe harvest, pray for workers. Now, the word workers is interesting. It comes from the word ergates, or it is the word ergates, E-R-G-A-T-E-S, ergates. Laborer, common field hand. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, pray for some common people who will work. He could have said, oh, the harvest is plentiful and we have these sheep, so pray for some really famous Christian people. What we really need are some really good famous Christian singers. We need some really rich Christian people. We need some really smart people. We need some really, pray for really connected people. Pray for people that each have at least 1,000 friends on Facebook. That's what we need. No, he didn't say that at all. What he said was pray for workers. Common, everyday, ordinary people who are willing to be used by him. To do what? to harvest a ripe harvest, and to shepherd sheep. Isn't that wonderful? I can remember when I was a sophomore in college, and I heard someone say this actually at a conference. And do you know what? I remember my heart going, oh, I could do that. It was so exciting. I could be that. I could be the answer to Jesus' prayer. I could be a worker, because the people he said it to are all dead. So they need people to do it today. Pick me! Pick me! And I can remember I was kind of sitting in the back over there, and I looked around the room. I thought, what if all these people were workers for Jesus? That would be amazing what he could do. I remember my heart beat a little faster then, in a good way. This is so exciting. It was liberating to me to see that Jesus wasn't looking for the spiritually exclusive. He wants to use anybody who wants to be used. That is such good news. That means you, whatever your baggage is, you can be used by Him to do His work. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. What do workers do? Well, in this case, they pick fruit. Who needs to be picked? You know, fruit. Who's this harvest? Lost people. People who don't know Jesus. And if that's you, don't be offended by that. You know, it's not banished people, not nasty people, but people that are apart from Him. Jesus says, you're lost. Come home. What does a worker do? Helps people who are lost move towards Jesus. That's what you do. That's what you do. And then helping the young. Shepherdless sheep. Now, not the young, not like 9-year-olds, but the spiritually young, the clueless ones, like me when I went to college. How wonderful was it for me that Carrie came and knocked on my door that morning and said, bring your Bible. You know what he was doing? He was shepherding me. And really, it's the only time he did, because I realized, you know, he lived in another part of campus, and he started hanging out more with people over there. I was hanging out with Larry and the people in my area. But I'm so grateful. He was being a worker in my life. Our navigator calling, I am excited about it. Look at it now in light of these passages here. To advance the gospel of Jesus and His kingdom into the nations. How? Through spiritual generations of what? Workers, laborers. And what are they doing? Living and discipling among the lost. Do you know what we pray for you, what I pray for you? Is that you would be men and women who have the vision, passion, and skill to walk with God all the days of your life. That because you've been part of the Navigators, you'd learn how to walk with God. You'd learn how to have a quiet time and meet with Him. And incidentally, let me make a suggestion to you. I suggest that you refrain from having 3-hour quiet times. Do you know why? What happens the next day? Oh, I don't have time. I spent 3 hours yesterday. I have to do laundry today. Or whatever. You know, take half an hour. 20 minutes, whatever you have. But aim for consistency as opposed to, you know, an explosion and then drought. You know, don't do that. Just walk with Him. And we pray that for every student who's had any touch with the Navigators, that because of your touch with us, you would learn, you would move forward in having the vision, the passion, and the skill to walk with God. Now, the second thing we pray would be true is that you would have the vision, passion, and skill to be used by God, especially among the lost, among people who don't know Him. That you'd be the one that God could say, oh, there's someone that I'm in work in their heart, and I'd like you to be in the cubicle next to that person. Not so you can complain about their noise and their gum popping, but so that you can represent me to them. Because I want them to come to me this year. But I want you to do the work. Or so he can have you move in next door to that family who needs Jesus. Or so he can take you back to your family reunion and talk to your cousins who just got divorced again. Or whatever the story is among the lost. And you know, this is true for all of us. I pray this would be true for all of us. And we believe in the Navigators that God is really asking us to take this up. That's why we're so excited about Terrence going to remain on the Navigator staff, but go to neighborhood ministries and serve there. And we're praying, Lord, expand our reach to the poor, to people of color, to the minorities, to the corners of the world, to the Uzbekistan and the African continent and the cold countries, spiritually cold countries of Europe, that he would use us, that he'd use you in this way. Well, it's interesting. Two needs, shepherdless sheep, ripe harvest. One solution, workers, and one prayer request. Have you ever made a list of all the prayer requests of Jesus? That'd be kind of interesting. Some Sunday afternoon, oh, we're losing anyway, I'm going to turn it off. That would be Saturday afternoon, I'm going to turn it off. And make a list of all the prayer requests of Jesus. That wouldn't take you long. Just flip. Oh, every time he said, oh, I have a prayer request. Oh, it's a prayer request from Jesus. Whoa, you know. Write that one down. What did he say to pray for? Pray for workers. Pray for common field hands. Pray for people who are willing to get their hands dirty in the lives of other people. Helping people, messy, dirty people, move towards Jesus and meet him and learn how to walk with him. Now, who, incidentally, became the answer to this prayer initially? Who became the answer? Ben, you remember this from 10 years ago. They did. The people who prayed it became the answer. So don't pray it unless you're willing to be part of the answer. Yeah. I have a prayer request, but I want you to pray it. Pass it off to your friend. Who's going to pray for laborers? Not me. Yeah. I urge you all to. He has wonderful things in store for you. Do you know, it will cost you your life, but it will be worth it. Well, who will do this? Who will be these workers? Who will be on your campus next week representing the cause of Christ? I won't be. I'm going to Chicago tonight. It was really weird to get on the plane going to Florida with my black leather jacket. See, it snowed in Chicago 2 days ago. I'm with all these people, luau shirts and stuff, and I'm wearing my black jacket. So I'm going to Chicago. It's all right. After Florida. See, I won't be here. And Tuesday, I'm taking the day off. Going to be with my wife. But someone at Florida State, someone at UF, someone at Central Florida, someone at your school will be in need of someone for the Holy Spirit to say, go talk to that one. That one, yes, that one. Now, yes, now. But I had plans. Lay it down. I need you now. Will you be that kind of worker? Will you do this? I'm asking you. You hardly know me. We know each other a little. You know me more than I know you, probably, in many cases. But would you be one of these workers? Do you know, I think His Holy Spirit is at work among the students of today. I think He's raising up a new generation of men and women who will say yes to Jesus. Say, I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I don't want to be a nice, happy Christian. I want to be a worker for you, Lord. And be used for you, oh, for the next half century or so, serving your purposes. I'd like to ask you to be that kind of person. And to say yes to Him. And He'll take you through the right steps, His steps for you to get there. It may not look like her steps or His steps, but He'll take you through the steps He has for you so you could become the worker, the man or woman who's following Him, knowing Him, seeking Him, serving Him, fearing Him, being used by Him for His purposes. especially answering his prayer request to be a worker among shepherdless sheep and people who need to be harvested and brought into the kingdom. Now, just to remind you, you cannot give what you don't have. You can take others as far as you are. And you can, I'm telling you, you can, you in this room, you can serve Christ through being a worker for Him. You can do this. I believe you can. I'm sure you can. Review quickly again. We've talked about knowing Christ, fearing God, seeking Christ, and serving Christ. And all along, we've been cognizant of the truth and the reality that we serve a God who speaks today. And today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So here's the question. What has God been talking to me about? Now, I started asking that question for you on Friday night. So all weekend, we've had that question in the background, haven't we? So some of you have an idea already. What's He been talking to me about? Not me, but you and me. But I'm talking about you ask that question of yourself. Here's what I want you to do. In a little bit, I'm going to see if the band or some of the band can come up and create an atmosphere for us and direct our hearts to Jesus. What I'd like to ask you to do, you'll take about 10 or 15 minutes. Just review your notes, your memories, your thoughts, your discussions from your quiet times, your workshop, these messages, your talk with someone out in the parking lot over a meal. Just reflect on these things. You don't have to study everything, but reflect on them. What I'd like to ask you is ask the Lord, is there one big lesson for me this weekend? I urge you not to come up with your 18 lessons, okay? Because you won't remember them. Pick one. And if God wants to remind you of another one on Wednesday, He can. But pick one. And then tie it to one verse. Probably it's tied to this verse, God. Here's the verse. Here's the verse, and here's the lesson. And then I urge you to pick one specific application. One thing you will do because of how He's spoken to you. One thing you'll do because of how He's spoken to you. And it may be something as simple as, I'm going to go home and ask my brother to forgive me. It may be as big as, Lord, I want to be your child. Or Father, I want to be a worker for you for the next half century. Would you help me? It may be something anywhere in between. And then after you've done that, and we'll give you some time right here, right now, to do that, and you can sit on the floor if you want, but just stay right close. Because I'm going to ask you to mark this moment. You know, throughout the Old Testament, we see times when the followers of the Almighty had a God encounter, they would mark it. I'm building this pile of stones to remember that this is the place where God showed Himself to be faithful. I'm going to put a marker right here, and this marker says, this is where God provided. It's appropriate for you to mark. If God has spoken to you about something that's significant, mark it. If I brought one of my older Bibles, do you know what you would see in it? Well, you'd see notes, and you'd see teardrops, probably some coffee stains. But you'd see these little things, like when I was a senior in college. You know what I did the one Sunday afternoon next to Matthew 10, 24, and 25 that we talked about yesterday? And actually, I've done it three times since. Wrote in there, Lord, it's enough for me to be like you. That's all I ever do. Love your son, Mike. May 7th, 1978, Illinois State University, Normal, Illinois. I marked it. You could go through my Bibles and say, oh, wow. And I do. I said, wow. It was 1989. I told Jesus yes to that. Now that was 1999. Oh, look, wow, that was 1976. 1976, John 15. Lord, I commit myself to abiding in your word for the rest of my life with your help. It's huge for me. Huge. So I'm going to ask you just to, on the verse that you pick, circle the number. It's okay. God will not care if you're writing your Bible, okay? Some of you might be concerned about that, but you can. And just write your little commitment, what he's talking to you about right there, mark it right there in your Bible. And then I'm going to come together, just have a few more words. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm just going to give you the opportunity to mark this in your Bible. And then if it's something big, something that, yeah, I need to let other people know about this, I'm just going to ask you to stand. I don't like personally doing big emotional things. I'm not going to wail and cry until all of you are standing. I'm just going to give you a minute to stand. Say, yeah, it's big for me. I'm not going to say every eye closed. I'm going to say every eye open. Because I want your friends to see that God, you think God's done something big in your life. And then I'm going to ask you to tell your friends. God did something big with me this weekend, and I want to tell you about it. Because I need your help. And you will. You'll need each other's help. So, let's just do that now. So we'll take 10, 15 minutes, and then after that, I'll pray for you, we'll close, and then you're going to have discussion, and then we're going to have lunch and pack and leave. So, ready, set, go.